Well, several members of the U.S. military are now bravely coming forward as whistleblowers, risking their careers to reveal how the government is covering up adverse effects from the vaccine and the fraud that was perpetrated on the U.S. military being forced to take this. Many of them already have had consequences in their careers for speaking up at all or for refusing the vaccine. Many of them have been demoted or lost opportunities for promotion.
Right.
That kind of thing. So do you want to give some context here?
Yeah, because we got some new data out on this too. New data shows that the coding system that the military uses to track health care of service members is showing a huge increase in things like, miscarriages, myocarditis, cancer, Bell's palsy, female infertility, and many, many other health conditions. The list is long, and this is the military's own coding system that the military uses to track these types of
Like the way you bill your insurance. If you've ever had, your insurance, you take your kid in for a pediatric appointment and they get a, vaccine or something. They're like, oh, the insurance, they didn't put the right code in. So then you have to make 10 phone calls.
Right.
It's like that. It's like how they code things in order to bill for them. Those codes are being disproportionately used in the time since the vaccine mandate went into place.
Right. And this data, we should be specific about it, comes from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. Say that five times fast. From the Department of Defense. This is the government's own data from the U.S. military. And now there's a massive lawsuit. Now, there were a couple of whistleblowers, military whistleblowers, who came forward a number of months ago. And they sat at a Senate panel and they came forward to tell their story at great risk of their career, being grounded permanently or expelled from the military for coming forward and blowing the whistle on what was actually happening inside of the military. One of the lead lawyers on this story is Dale Sarin. He is the head lawyer. He's also a former Marine. And gathered up these individuals to bring this lawsuit, saying it's one of the greatest frauds perpetrated on the American people and the U.S. military in years. I want to let him explain what his motivation is for bringing this lawsuit. Listen.
There is no licensed vaccine. And I know it's convenient, and I don't blame anybody in the media, but because they've fallen for the FDA's propaganda campaign. But the day that the FDA licensed Comirnaty, August 23rd of 2021, the same day, it removed it from the market. So if you look at the marketing begin and end date of Comirnaty, you'll find that it cannot be sold in the United States because it was removed from the U.S. market the same day that it was actually licensed. And it would be good if maybe we started asking some hard questions about people at the FDA and the DOD who knew this, because it was, notwithstanding that it was removed from the market on August 23rd, the next day, August 24th, the Secretary of Defense announced that they were going to go forward with this vaccine program only for licensed products, of course, that they didn't have. And yet the program rolled forward. And what the DOD did was, as many of the folks here know, the Undersecretary of Defense for Health Affairs, a woman named Terry Adarum, published a memo claiming that the unlicensed product, BNT162B2, Pfizer's unlicensed EUA product, could be substituted in, that it was interchangeable with the licensed product. And that's the fraud that's at the heart of our case. And it's at the fraud, it's the fraud that's at the heart of why these products have been forced on an unwilling and unsuspecting public.
Unbelievable. So if you think about they sent a letter, of course, in part of the lawsuit, and this was the letter that was sent to Secretary Lloyd Austin on February 1st, 2022, the Honorable Lloyd Austin, the Defense Secretary. And they said, on January 24th, I held a roundtable, and this was from Senator Ron Johnson's office. Renowned doctors and medical experts who shared their perspectives on COVID-19 and overall response to the pandemic. At that roundtable, I heard testimony, and specifically from these whistleblowers. The concern is that these increases in health-related issues may be related to the COVID-19 vaccines that our servicemen and women have been mandated to take. And so the list, of these, just a couple of these things that they highlight in this letter: hypertension, a 2,181% increase.
Well, we're going to go over some of these numbers in a bit, but what he's saying here is that the vaccine that was administered and the vaccine that was approved are two different things. And I believe that's something that David has been saying repeatedly for at least the last year, right? David, this is what you've been saying. I've heard you say it, is that the one that's being used in Europe is approved, but the one that was being used in the United States was not. This is exactly your point, right?
Right.
Do you have any clarifying points on that, or I'm just giving you a high five for having said this?
Or do we have to be very careful?
Just an up top. Okay.
Now, Comirnaty, and this was, it's amazing to me. So they just think, oh, no one will notice. I mean, the one that got approved, then they got literally yanked off the shelves the same afternoon because we can't give this to people. It's illegal. We'll just swap it out for this other one that hasn't been tested. Right.
But it was used in Europe, which is strange.
I know, it's bizarre.
The one that was approved.
So we, as part of this roundtable press conference, as it relates to this lawsuit, we're hearing now from a couple of these whistleblowers, a couple of the members of the military that have come together as part of this massive lawsuit. They have over 1,000 members of the military that have now joined this lawsuit. This is no small thing. And they're not only representing themselves, but they're also representing the people who can't speak publicly or don't want to, and whom have these all sorts of adverse effects and issues that they don't want to talk about publicly. Here's John Bowles. He's a fighter pilot. It's a distinguished fighter pilot, and talking about why he came forward. Listen to this.
That's pretty clear, I think, to almost everyone. And in the report that I helped generate to Congress, we've quantified that in terms of actual, no kidding, vaccine injuries that service members have encountered. Pilots getting pericarditis, one service member having 4 strokes after getting the vaccine, heart attacks, so many things that are just absolutely tragic and horrific stories that are heartbreaking to hear. And I think that's really the kind of common theme here for so many people, is that these service members are kind of heartbroken. I personally am, and I know thousands of others are as well. And we're not doing this because we want to stick it to the man, or because we're a fringe group of rebels, or we're religious radicals or right-wing radicals or anything like that. You know, we were given and instilled in us values about supporting and defending the Constitution, values about integrity and excellence, and values about asking questions when something seems wrong and speaking up about it. And that's exactly what we're doing here today, is we are here to bring awareness to the fact that there are serious concerns about this mandate. They're a detriment to our national security. They're hurting our service members, and the coercive tactics used against them are forcing people out of the military in droves. And so that's my specialty, and that's what I'm here to answer questions on. And hopefully we can start to get the gears moving with the American people in Congress on making some change in this. Because like Rachel said, the lawsuits might be the one thing that actually ends this for us. But the bottom line is these service members need top cover from the American people and from our congressional leaders. And I'm here to ask for that.
Yeah. So why is this still in place?
Right.
Well, can I point out too, I watched a hearing, like a lot of people aren't willing to go down the rabbit holes I do. I watch 7-hour videos. I watched a 7-hour video where a woman from the military, a senior person, was warning of this and talking about all of this. And guess what? Suspended from YouTube, taken down, you know, Rumble's the only place you can still find it. And, you know, these people are marginalized, and all they were trying to do was get the information out that this was happening. A year ago.
Silenced. It's an absolute travesty.
And the thing that you seem to be able to hold someone's feet to the fire is around the mandates. Not any, again, we've talked about how the vaccine makers have so much immunity.
Right.
It's not them that's being brought to the litigation table.
Right.
It's just anyone who's issuing a mandate. And as the lawyer in the beginning said, well, what did the DOD know about these mandates and about these adverse effects and about these approval processes when it put the mandates in place? They couldn't have just been winging it. And like this article that went viral from The Atlantic this week was like, let's just give everyone a pass.
Let's give everyone COVID
amnesty. We didn't know any better. If we were mean to people about masks, let's not hold it. Well, there were people who knew better. Those people were deplatformed. So nobody gets a pass for that. Most of us maybe get a pass for for maybe our collective behavior on the internet, like just wear a mask, whatever, because we were being tossed around like marbles. But people who were supposed to be authorities and were actually putting restrictions on people's lives, those people get no passes.
Here is the Atlantic cover piece. If by now you don't know about this story, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? So the Atlantic magazine wrote this piece called "Let's Declare a Pandemic Amnesty. We need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID." And of course, this has gone viral because so many people are saying, no, no, no. The people that did this to my grandmother, and they will share a video of their grandmother, like not even sure where she is, trying to reach through a screen to touch her family. Awful. Like to the people that kept me from seeing my father, who was dying in the hospital and we couldn't go see him. Like, no, screw you. Absolutely screw you. David and Philip, the same with your grandmother. Awful. Right? No, there's no COVID amnesty. And like, what do these people know? When did they know it? And what do they do to cover it up just for profits, right? To control people. And so this, one of the questions that came up during this hearing, or one of the questions that came up during this press conference that's part of this lawsuit, is the idea of infertility. Like, what about women? What about women who are in the military? Because we here on Redacted believe there is such a thing as a woman. They are biologically different than a man. Newsflash. And so that might be a concern to some women about infertility. And if we take this experimental thing that maybe is not proven anywhere, like, will we have adverse effects? Like, this hasn't been tested. Can we make sure that this is checked? Here's Olivia. She was one of the people that was a part of this press conference and who came forward. Listen to what she had to say about basically being grounded, blocked, and threatened with her job.
I'd recommend that you go to the FDA website and pull up the community package insert, the information that comes, you know, with the vials of vaccine. It specifically states that fertility was only tested on rats for women. And honestly, it was never even tested on men to determine, you know, whether or not there's a negative impact. Carcinogenicity and genotoxicity were not tested either. So, you know, these are valid concerns that Pfizer points out in their product information to the American people. Since that day, I started looking more and more into the product and realized that the vials that were used to give service members and honestly all of the American people these shots, these vaccines, they're emergency use authorized products. And under Title 21 and Title 10, the government can't legally mandate you to take these products. You always have the right to accept or refuse the products. I raised these concerns to military leadership, you know, specifically stated that the mandates were illegal. And since then, that's resulted in the loss of my assignment to China. The military has taken away training opportunities. They've denied leave. All of my belongings were kept for almost a year. My family had to live out of four bags, you know, the four bags we planned to travel to China with for an entire year. And honestly, I love my country. You know, I joined the military to support and defend the Constitution, to ensure America, you know, the American people remained safe. And it's my job as a naval officer to point out violations of law to military leadership. That's what I've been doing. That's what, you know, nearly 80,000 military members like me have
had to deal with. And that's why they, you know, and who were out of a job.
That sounds awful. That sounds awful.
Awful. You want to go through some of the data? So this is some of the data. These are some of the specific things that came out in this military data.
Right. So some of the things that they're saying were had an increase in this coding system. For instance, new cancer diagnosis. Now, we were warned that cancer diagnoses would go up because during lockdown, so much cancer was not detected. And so, you know, when you see cancer going up, you think maybe that's because they were undetected cancers, but the numbers just don't support that. So for instance, new cancer diagnosis between 2016 and 2020 in a 4-year bracket was about 38,700 cases. So let's just round to about 40,000 cases in 4 years, so 10,000 cases a year. But since 2021 alone, there has been 114,000 new cases reported. So for, let's say, 2 years of lockdowns not going for cancer screening, we should only have 20,000 extra in a single year. Not this huge increase, right? Again, if 40,000 in 4 years is normal, then it should take 11 years to get to 114,000 cases, not just 1 year. That's far more than undiagnosed cancer. So something is going on here. Again, these numbers were presented not only by the lawyers, but by Senator Ron Johnson when he hosted a panel about vaccine injuries in October. And here's a list of all of the pathologies that we talked about: nervous system disorders, multiple sclerosis, breast cancers, female infertility, pulmonary embolism, migraine, ovarian, testicular cancer. So these are things that we're not saying there's a causation, but we are absolutely saying there's a correlation here that deserves being looked into. And it's terrible that there's no appetite to do it outside of litigation.
So Dale,
could you imagine if that was, take those percentages and put it around gun violence. Imagine if it was that. If you saw an increase that high with gun violence, they'd be all over it, because it's a talking point that they can push. But the fact that, I mean, those percentages, that's crazy. 500-600%?
Maybe. Or if it were happening to Congress, then they would care.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're doing any. Well, who knows? I mean, look at what's going on. Look what's going on in some of our biggest cities across the United States right now. I mean, absolute disaster. So that's why you're going to see this crazy, crazy red wave on Tuesday, perhaps, as Joe Rogan says. He thinks a red wave is coming. Dale Sarin, who is the lawyer on this case, he says, we just want answers. And he really likens this to like Nuremberg. Absolutely. And I don't disagree with him at all. Listen.
Yeah, we're not going to stop until we get the right result, which is this has to end because it's illegal. This is fundamentally what we stretched people's necks for at the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal. Same exact charges, in fact. There was an experimental smallpox vaccine during the trial of Dr. Carl Brandt, and that was, that was considered a crime punishable by death back then, to force someone to take an experimental medical product or procedure. And we appear to have just abandoned that notion by just slapping the label vaccine on something. So,
yeah, right. So don't ask any questions. And you know, Jim Cramer was. This is somewhat. It's tangentially related, because this is just how in the tank the media is for this, and how a part of the intelligence deep state all of these guys are running the show on mainstream media. So Jim Cramer. You know him from CNBC, right? He does that Mad on Money show. And
yes.
And last week he was crying. I don't know if you saw that went viral. He was crying last week because he was really wanting everyone to buy a lot of Meta stocks and Facebook stock. And then that, of course, went belly up. And he was crying on the air saying, I was wrong about it.
For goodness sakes.
I apologize. I was wrong. It's a
missed
shit.
That one.
So he's back last
he's
night.
A, he's a... he's. Pl-
Go ahead.
I would say he's popular on Reddit for like the Wall Street Bets crowd and all that stuff like that. They as like basically do the opposite of what he says in the stock market.
It's probably smart. Yeah, you would have made a lot of money if you bet against Facebook. Anyway, he last night was saying the reason we need more people. He was basically saying we need more people to go out and get the jabs, and we need propagandists. We need like state-run propagandists to make this happen. Well, I want you to watch the faces of his co-hosts. As he literally says this, watch.
And they got to deal with, what do you do if you told people the way to beat this is no vaccine, right? And now you have a vaccine. So I think what you need is a propagandist.
Outside of the state infrastructure.
Exactly.
To start moving political opinion.
But I think when we think of propaganda, we think about other regimes that we didn't really appreciate.
That they don't
the
even want to hear
no
that.
No part of that conversation.
No.
They're like, what the hell are you talking
about? He laughed. He was like
did you really just say that? We need propagandists.
He just tuned him out. I know those guys. I used to work on CNBC, and you could tell Carl Quintanilla was super uncomfortable with that. And he's like, maybe not a state run.
I think he was trying to give it like, maybe we can run that again. I think he was trying to give him give him an out.
Yeah.
Like you know, mean the state run ones. Let's run. See. Let's play that again.
And they got to deal with. What do you do if you told people the way to beat this is no vaccine, right? And now you have a vaccine? So I think what you need is a propagandist.
outside of the state infrastructure.
Exactly.
To start moving political opinion.
But I think when we think of propaganda, we think
look, his face is, even when he said it, he went like this. Even just, I said that and I don't like the idea of it.
He's like, I'm not even talking. I'm not saying a word.
About those poor people stuck at Disney.
He's like, don't look at me, please.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can see, I spend a lot of time thinking about how I would have felt being still at the mainstream media during the pandemic. And if I would have just been like, yeah, everybody, you know, don't ask questions, take the, whatever.
You wouldn't.
If I, because it's a culture of like, people just don't get it. We have to tell them, you know, and even he was like, no to state propaganda. You know, yeah. There are people inside of there that are willing to say like, that doesn't feel right. I'm not gonna just along with that.
Like, do you think that they like do they live in ivory towers that they're really that protected from information? Like, they're not going out and watching YouTube videos. They're not actually stepping outside of
that
mainstream universe. So maybe they genuinely feel some of that stuff.
I never did anything like that. No, but I mean, I didn't have political.
Well, mostly, yeah, she covered technology. So she was worked at CNET covering technology and like, you know, and so that she wasn't like knee deep in like politics and that sort of thing.
There wasn't very much, you know, to sort of peek around the curtain at the time. By the time, you know, Edward Snowden came in and really shook things up, I was already pregnant with our son. So I wasn't really, I don't know, like, yeah, I won't go down this rabbit hole today, but I don't think the mainstream media, there's just not enough. It has to start from the core, you know, and then you just take your assignment and you go. So
no, they're all part of it. Yeah. They're part of a culture. Fun. They're part of a culture. They're handed sort of marching orders, what they're going to go and cover. Fortunately, like on our show, when I worked at Fox and I was an anchor at Fox News, like there was much more of like a free thinking. Like my boss said to me, just be yourself. Just be yourself. That's all. The only marching orders he ever gave me, just be yourself.
And they never say that to women. It's not what it's like, wear this and cut your hair and wear your makeup differently.
Anyway,
I didn't get any of that.
In that world, do they have writers or it's like, because remember in the back in the day, like the journalists actually would do their own reporting. They'd write their own segment. They would, they actually studied the news.
Like Mary Tyler Moore.
Handed a script and said, hey, this person wrote this. Just read it.
It depends on who.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an actual reporter and you're out in the field and you're actually covering a story and you're have sources and you're working on a story, then you're going to put that together with a producer and so forth. But if you're just like a news presenter, like a news reader type, you know, like I call them news actors. Like that's if they're just like a news actor, like you'll read the scripts that whoever, like a 21-year-old wrote. You know, that's how it goes.
And a lot of it's repurposed. You know, whatever was played in the 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock news is then going to make it into the 7 o'clock news and just repurposed with a different voice and a different anchor.
Wow.
And
they really push the envelope, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. This is why mainstream media is failing. I mean, this is why it's collapsing right before your eyes. I mean, you know, again, CNN absolutely collapsing. They launched their new morning show or whatever this week, I guess. I don't know. And no one's going to watch that crap. The only reason anyone's even watching CNN is like it's on, you know, it's on at the airport. And so people just glance when they walk by and they see Wolf Blitzer when they're getting a coffee and a scone on their way to a flight. That's the only time you're watching that crap.
Yeah.
So we thank you for supporting independent journalism and just hitting that subscribe button here on our channel.